Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 406. And tonight, we're recapping two episodes of Lore Olympus. We are going to start with episode 272, which is available for free right now on the WebTunes app. And then we're going to jump straight into 273, which is only available if you're fast passing, which we certainly were this week. And I really hope the commenters are happy because these episodes were both long and a lot happened. And we found out a bunch of really, really super significant information.
Yes, and as much as I've been wanting to have storylines resolved, I think we may have actually had something else added to the list in this, but it's at the end of the second episode. So anyway, to start out with episode 272, it begins right where we ended the last one with Hera. She gets attacked by Kronos, who like whips a chain at her and drags her down into his hand, and he crushes her. And it's really, I mean, what's really disturbing is that Hera is thinking to herself the entire time, okay, it's finally happening. I hope my children are going to be okay, and maybe I'll get to see Metis. So she is ready for it. She has made her peace with the fact that she's dying now.
Now, the whole time while Kronos is attacking Hera, Persephone has her hands on the back of his neck, and it doesn't seem to be doing anything up until he crushes Hera, drops her, and then you see that there are tears rolling down his cheek, which we remember from the vision that there were tears running down his cheek, but at the time I thought he was crying because he was conflicted. No, that's Persephone using her powers on him and rotting him from the inside like she did with Apollo.
Yay! And she snatches her up and manages to run right ahead of Kronos into a cave that has a cage on the door and locks them in. And she's just terrified because Hera is now turning gray. And she was just like, why did you do that? And Hera tells her, oh, Hera is just like, it's a callback to the first time that she met Persephone, when Persephone was so shy and wasn't sure about going to this party. And Hera just gave her a crown and said, you can be a queen now too. You can stay by my side all night. And that's what Hera tells her. Oh my God, oh my so goodness. Powerful.
So Persephone realizes that Hera is still technically alive. Her heart's still beating. And she runs to the cage that's kind of separating her from Kronos. She does think at one point that she has to be careful because she's really angry and she knows she can't lose control because they need Kronos to be able to rescue Hades. So she can't destroy him completely. But she stops and she's like, "What? Why isn't he trying to break down the cage?" And he's sitting down on the floor with his back to them, muttering to himself. He's talking to Hades.
Yes, and I love that drawing of Persephone as she's listening and hearing Kronos say Adonis. And then she notices Dionysus, teeny tiny little Dionysus, just kind of toddling past Kronos. You see Persephone run out and snatch him up and run back into the cage before Kronos can notice.
She says something like, I don't know how you got here, but I'm definitely going to go with a different babysitter next time. So she asks him, you know, what is he doing here? And he opens up the backpack and pulls out the thing that he's been carrying, and she identifies it. It is a little piece of dead grapevine. And that's what he's been waving around this whole time. But when she looks at it, it has a grape growing on it. And the first thing she asks is, did you do this?
And then she says, did I do this? And that's that wonderful picture of her standing there holding the grapevine with the new grape and Dionysus just pointing right at her as if he's saying, you did this.
So this is the culmination of many months of trying to figure out what the heck has happened with Persephone's powers. And all this time, she's been trying to get over to Erebus to try and ask, you know, what's happening. And she ends up, with the help of Dionysus, she figures this out on her own. She knows why her powers have changed.
Because she is now both the dread queen of the underworld and the goddess of spring. And spring is a renewal, and you cannot have a renewal without death.
Oh my goodness, it's all about rebirth and starting over and everything. And she holds up the grapevine, and the next picture, there's this wonderful picture of her standing there, and leaves and vines and grapes are going everywhere. She's got the powers back, except she said, I was trying to behave like my powers were the same, but I'm not the same anymore. I've changed, and so her powers have changed. I'm like, yay!
And she's just sitting on the floor, and she says, sugar snaps. And then she realizes Hera, she can help Hera. So she crawls over to her, and she says, I hope this works. And that's where we end the episode.
Oh, my goodness. If we weren't fast-passing, we were totally going to fast-pass.
Oh, yes.
There's this beautiful picture of her sitting down next to Hera, and her hair, after the whole thing with the grapes, her hair has grown all over the place again. And so she's got the coat on, and her hair is all long, and I'm like, oh, it's all coming full circle. Okay, so the next episode, episode 273, spoiler warning, spoiler warnings. It starts with Kid Hades running after the little ghost child who's been showing up all this time. And he's yelling, stop, stop, let me just talk for a minute. And he grabs a hold of the blanket and he finally yanks it off. And we get our first full view of who's under the blanket.
And it's Melano. And she's adorable. She looks like a tiny childlike female version of Hades. And she's got, you know, the bright red eyes and the long white hair and the blue skin. And she's just really adorable. And she starts talking to him. And I love how Rachel does this. She's talking in sign language. And Hades is just like, I'm really rusty at this. And then he starts talking back at her. And their whole conversation is in sign language. I mean, she tells him her name at one point, and Rachel has like the little hands doing the different M-E-L-I-N-O-E spelling out in front of her. It's just, you have to take a look at this episode because it is so well done.
Yes, and bless the commenters, because Hades asks her how she got here. And she says that she was at home sleeping in bed. And you see an image of her in bed with Cerberus is kind of curled on the bed next to her. And the commenters pointed out her cochlear implant is on the table next to it. I had to go back and look at it. It is really tiny, but the commenters noticed it. I'm like, bless you guys. Wow.
And they love that, this whole idea that it doesn't matter who you are, that you can still be loved, that message there. Mm. Because Hades doesn't even pause. He's not even like, oh, you're deaf. It's just like, no, she's speaking sign language, so he speaks sign language back.
Oh, my goodness. And he asks if she's his daughter, and she says yes. And he's like, basically, how did that happen? And she says, you made a fire, and then mommy carried the fire around until I was alive. So she is from the future.
Yes, this whole thing about Cronos having time powers. And Hades is worried because he's been seeing her in his dreams for more than 10 years now. And was she trapped the entire time? And she says, no, time is weird here. I love that tie into Welcome to Night Vale, time is weird. But she's only been a prisoner for a few days. And she was sleeping. She woke up and she was with Cronos. And Cronos says that he would send her home if she helped him. And Hades just asks, does he hurt you? And she says, no, but I don't like it here and I want to go home.
Oh, my goodness. So he promises to get her home. And then he asks her what her birthday is. And you see her tell him, but it's kind of like a distance shot. So we don't know what the actual numbers are that she tells him, which is good because that preserves the story. You know, the story is never going to be dated with an actual date. All he does when he hears it, he's like, oh, you're from way in the future. And I'm like, you know what? I think that was Rachel trying to give everybody what they've been asking for. The fact that Hades and Persephone got married, and less than days later, they're in this terrible crisis, and they're raising Dionysus and everything. It's like, don't they get a chance to be just a happily married, honeymooning couple at all? And I think Rachel's like, yeah, they're going to have a kid, but not for a while.
Not for a while. And I also, this ties into, we did a watch party for Death Becomes Her, and we talked about that when the main character is offered the potion of immortality, and she asks how much it is, and the person offering it writes down a piece of paper and holds it out to her, but the audience doesn't see it. And we all thought that was great. And I think it was either you or Hannah who said that, yeah, it makes the movie inflation-proof. And I feel like it's the same sort of thing here, that however much time you need it to be, then you're not going to be holding her to some arbitrary number that she came up with in this episode.
Oh, it's just so smart. But that's when he asks what her name is, and she tells him, and then we go straight back to where Hera and Persephone are, and Persephone is trying to revive Hera. I don't know how far into death Hera got.
Well, Hera is seeing herself kind of floating in space and feeling at peace and not feeling any pain. And then she sees, or we see, Medes, but she's got her back to Hera, but she's saying Hera. And you see that a few times. She's calling Hera's name. And then we flash to a flashback of Zeus talking with Hera, saying he needs to hear her say that she loves him. and it's right before the battle with Kronos, and Zeus was using Hera's power, and he knew that she needed to love him for him to be able to use that. But Hera doesn't know any of that.
Nope. She has this moment where she remembers asking Persephone what it felt like to use fertility powers, and Persephone saying it's like being on fire. And we get this very brief shot of Hera kissing Zeus, and there's lightning flickering through him. But right after that, there's all these images of her and him throughout the years, kind of like as a married couple. And like it works in Lore Olympus, you know, there's like images from the 40s and images from the 70s and the 80s, whatever, going through time. But she's looking progressively more upset and maybe even tired, while Zeus looks great the whole time. And then we flash to Metis yelling at Zeus, and we're back to right before the original battle with Kronos.
And she says, you're not supposed to use Hera. And Zeus is like, the battle is going on too long. Everybody's losing heart. I don't want to hurt Hera, but if we can win this battle, and then Metis says, then use me. I've lived my life. You can use me, but you are not to use Hera. That's my condition. And you know, yep. Zeus agreed to it, and he freaking broke his promise pretty much instantly.
Oh, yeah. We see Zeus thinking about how he knows he promised Metis, but now that he's the king of the gods, he has to keep everybody safe. So he's in front of that painting of her in the cavern that had all the different pictures of the fertility goddesses, and he's just kind of reaching out and touching the painting, and there's lightning flickering from it. And he's like, I'll just use just a little bit of her power, just in case. Better if she doesn't know. She doesn't need the burden of this knowledge.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. It's like distilled patriarchy right there. It's like, you'll be suffering, awful. But it's better if you don't know or have any agency at all, because we want to protect you from having to worry about it.
Oh, my God. And then so we flash to Hera on the ground, and Persephone's got her hands over her, this beautiful picture of like the colors kind of flowing back into Hera. And Hera's thinking, you know, it was Zeus the whole time stealing from me. That son of a bitch.
And then she wakes up.
Oh, gracious. There were commenters who were saying that she woke up because she was angry. And they're like, I love that level of spite.
So then you see Kronos, and he's surrounded by this glowing mist and the sound of Hera laughing at him. And she says, I was not a star in your galaxy. I am a goddess. And she says, did you forget? I was made to destroy you. And you see Hera in her full Titan mode, just smiling at him. So, yay, it's on!
Oh, thank goodness. And so, yeah, that was the new information that we were talking about. I had never thought about the fact that Hera is the queen of the gods, but she is always like she's always sick or she always has headaches. And I just thought it was depression. I thought, I don't know, I didn't think about the fact that she's never really shown godlike powers. She throws her influence around all the time, certainly, but never godlike powers. And it never occurred to me to wonder about that. It's because Zeus has been stealing it this whole time.
And that is what I was talking about a new thing to have to resolve, because I was already hoping that we would get to see Apollo get his comeuppance. And now we're going to have to see Zeus really getting it. I mean, I think one of the commenters was talking about that they were looking forward to the biggest, baddest, this is why you suck conversation from Hera ever.
Oh, it's going to be so good. And it's funny, because I was thinking at one point, you know, there's always people having this conversation about, oh, everybody's got to go all woke and everything, and all the guys are the bad guys. No, just two. Just Apollo and Zeus. Yeah. Every other guy in this story, well, Kronos and Ouranos, I suppose, but they're like the big bad monster type things. But every other guy in this story has been like funny, good, strong, sexy, powerful, all that kind of stuff. We just have two. We just have Apollo and Zeus, and they really, really suck.
They really suck, yes. And it's the person who's had power and the person who's trying to get power, and they're both trying to do it the same way. And that, I think, I mean, Hera and Persephone have so much in common, because Hera probably thought that Zeus really, really loved her, but you've got to imagine it's all been calculated on his part this entire time. Even the reason why he lied to Hades about, well, I guess he didn't actually lie to Hades It's just Hades said that he loved Hera, but Zeus told Hera that he loved her. So, of course, she had to stay with him and be the queen of the gods. But it was all Zeus making sure that his power was staying nearby, because, of course, he couldn't let Hera go to anybody else, just like Apollo doesn't want Persephone to go to anybody else.
Man alive. And just to think about the fact, like, when he's telling Metis that he really does think that he has to use Hera's power just in case and everything, and he's saying, I don't want to drag her into this fight because she's sacrificed so much already. And he's talking about, you know, having sleep with Kronos and all that kind of stuff. So you think about all she had to do to defeat Kronos. Uh-huh. And he responds not only by stealing her powers this entire time, but also sleeping with every single friggin' nymph that crossed his path. I mean, it's just everything that he does to her, and he continued to treat her so badly.
So like, badly!
And it even makes more sense when she said, you always made me so tired in a way I can't explain.
I was thinking about that too. Yep. He's been making her feel tired this entire time, and she thought rightly that it was his awful attitude and the fact that he was never loyal to her at all. But now, oh boy, if she had any love for him, I'm thinking that's probably gone now after that level of betrayal for that many years.
Can you imagine when she confronts Apollo too? I mean, this has been really cool because, yes, Persephone was going to fight Kronos and everything. But really, the person who needed to defeat Kronos was the one that he hurt almost more than anybody else. I mean, it's either going to be Hades or Hera. So the fact that it's not somebody else defeating Kronos, Hera, we're hoping, fingers crossed, she's going to have this showdown with Kronos. And then hopefully Persephone will get to face down Apollo. But can you imagine, after all the shitty things that Apollo said to Hera, to see her in her full Titan goddess mode? Oh my goodness!
Well, I'm really hoping that what Persephone did to Apollo to like make him bleed from his eyes and his ears is a lasting thing. Like some of the commenters were hoping that, and I think the Lore Olympians summary of this was talking about, are we going to see this have a lasting effect on both Kronos and Apollo, what Persephone did to them?
Oh my goodness. And then we would have, hopefully, Hera will go after Kronos, and then Persephone go after Apollo, and then maybe they team up together with everybody and they go after Ouranos and put him back in his place. Like, oh my goodness.
And then Zeus gets a talking to. I wonder how the rulership shakes out after all this, because we know Apollo can't be in charge. I don't know how they leave Zeus in charge after all this.
I think they put Hera in charge because it was her power behind the throne the entire time.
The entire
time.
Literally. Yeah, that would be great.
That'd be fun. It's almost like, because we were talking about in earlier episodes, how Hera, in the original myths, used to be a very strong, you know, one of the gods, one of the strong people. But progressively, the writers who translated the works for other people to read, they kind of made her more and more of a scold and a shrew and everything. It's almost like Rachel Smythe is giving her agency back this whole time, like taking it back to the way it was always meant to be.
I think that's great.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. So, let's look at this. What was this episode? This was 273. Like we mentioned last week, in case you hadn't listened to that episode, Lore Olympus is finished at episode 280. So it's barreling down the road at us full speed. And oh my God, I'm not ready.
I'm not ready, although I feel a little bit better now because we had so much development in these last two episodes.
Yes. I mean, just the fact that we figured out what's going on with Persephone's power and how she can use her power now. So now she's going to be able to go forward into the mortal realm that has died and bring it into rebirth. And that'll be establishing, we'll get something about, you know, the stupid pomegranates and all the days and the months and how long does she have to spend away from Hades?
Yes.
And hopefully we find out what happens to Eros and Psyche. Oh my God, what the hell's happened to Eros and Psyche?
We've still got 7 more episodes left, and we have not heard word one from them since the last time when Apollo asked Eros for his arrow of love.
You don't suppose, God, can you imagine Rachel throwing that into the mix? Like, I'm sitting here thinking that we are coming to the crest of the climax, and then everything after this will sort of wrap up the rest of this series. Can you imagine her throwing in another storyline at this point that Apollo hits her with the arrow of true love and she falls in love with him, and then Hades has to find some way to... I'm like, please don't do that. Please, my heart can't take it.
Please don't do that. We don't have that many episodes left.
No, we really don't. Oh my God. But the arrow, it's in play. We know there's an arrow in play someplace. So I don't know. So that's it for Lore Olympus. I did not go and see Dune 2 this weekend. I really meant to, but it just didn't happen.
Well, I feel like we had enough like fiction to discuss here with Lore Olympus. Mm-hmm. So one big thing that did happen as of time of this recording today was the eclipse. And we were not in the path of totality because, I mean, I really thought about it when I first heard that there was going to be a total eclipse in part of the country. And just the more I thought about it, it was like, oh, you have to do all of the planning and all of the expense and then travel. And then you're dealing with a natural event and there could be weather. And apparently there have been, there were some places along the totality. I think it was too clouded for them to see anything. And can you imagine driving all that way? Yeah. But no, we were at home. It was 81% where we're at. And I think that's good because you don't get to see the entire eclipse, but you do get to see that wonderful change in the quality of light. Like, so completely different from just the sun going behind a cloud. It's a very spooky feeling. And then playing all the little tricks like taking a colander outside and seeing all the little crescent shaped silhouettes on the ground. That's so cool.
Yeah, I was in San Diego. I want to say we were just like maybe 25% enough that I made my little pinhole camera out of the cereal box and I could see a little chunk taken out of it. And that was good enough for me just to know that it's happening and know that that's, wow, that's the freaking moon.
And Nathan brought the colander over to some neighbors who were out there trying to take a picture of something or other or to capture something on their phones. And they'd never heard of that particular trick with the colander.
I'm telling you, yeah, back in like 2016 or 17, I think we were downtown when it happened. It was a much bigger eclipse. And they had like patio tables out there that have the little holes drilled into the metal, and somebody pointed down, they're like, yeah, there it is right there. And I was like, that's a pinhole camera too? And they're like, yeah, you didn't know it could do that? I'm like, I had no idea.
I had heard years ago about when there's an eclipse going on, you can see the crescent shape in the pattern of light through leaves. And I actually have gotten to see that the last couple of times. And it is very cool. And I do not understand. I do not freaking understand why you can get a crescent shape during an eclipse, but then during regular sunlight, you don't get little sun like spheres down on the ground. Why doesn't that work? Why is science?
I don't know. Why is science? Why is physics? I'm not even going to ask. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. I had one more photo gallery from WonderCon 2024 posted onto the site today, and I've got some of the cosplayers identified because some of them I've found on my own, and some of them will give you a little business card when you take their picture, which is very nice of them. But if you see anybody that you recognize, please reach out and let us know because we would love to tag them because there was so much good stuff this year.
I didn't recognize anybody in the pictures, but I just love the variety. There was a really good death. Love the death very much. And I like how Neil Gaiman himself has opened up the death cosplay. It can pretty much be anybody now, which is fantastic. Although, I mean, pretty sure that in the original Sandman comics, Death would show up looking like whoever it was that she was talking to sometime. I think that was an option, but having it in the TV show has just kind of solidified it. But of course, there was also the obligatory dude wearing the Slave Leia costume. And I don't know what brings that on, but it's funny every time. I mean, how do guys get inspired to do something like that? There's not as many men out there that are that confident to be able to do that.
Nope. And he just went full on. I mean, it was not like a t-shirt with a Slave Leia outline pasted on it, which I have seen before too. Nope, we're talking the tinfoil bikini and the chain and the hair up in the bun and everything. I mean, he looked great.
And he had a beard. So it's like, there's no mistaking it for anything other than exactly what it is.
Yes. So anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week we should have a Night Vale. I'm doing math. That sounds right.
Should have another Night Vale. Yep.
Okay. And whatever other, you know, shiny thing distracts us, and maybe I'll finally go see Dune 2 before it leaves the theater.
Yes, go do that. You need to see this in the big theater.
I know. One way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.